in Malachim Bet, there's a possibility, if time permits, we'll do something in chapter in Divrei Hayamim. That of course would make Sarah happy, but I can't promise that I'll be able to do it. Yahu became sick unto death. By a very lovely Shayahu ben Amoz Hanavi. In this passage, by the way, we have the most fascinating Bikur Cholim, I think, in history. Comes to visit the sick. Yeshayahu ben Amoz came. By Yom Re'elov, and he said to him, Komar Hashem, so says God, Sablu Beitecha. Make out a will. Your commands, your last will and testament for your family. You're going to die, you're not going to live. How do you like that for a Bikachol? You understand? The Bikachol society, Yeshayahu comes and tells them you're okay, that's it. By Yasevet Farah Akir, by Yifalil al Hashem Lemor, Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall. And by the way, the Gemara says that from here we learn a person, if possible, should pray near a wall, so that there's nothing that distracts him. And in chapter 20, in Malachim Bet, the Gemara, of course, Gemara in the Sefer Brachos tells us that this is where Chizkiyahu turned to Yeshayahu, and he told him, Kach mikublani beit avi abba. I have a Masorah from my grandfather's house, the house of David. Afilu cherev chadom unachat al savoro shel odom al yitya'esh miharachavim. Even if there's a sharp sword that's hanging over one's neck, you never despair, you never give up hope. And though the Navi has said to him, Ko Omar Hashem, so says the Lord, you're going to die and you're not going to live, Chizkiyahu tells Yeshayahu, Slicha yedidi hanavi, I don't accept the divine decree. A divine decree can be changed as well. And therefore, by Yasevet Panav Aki, he turned to the wall by his palel and he prayed of Hashem Leimor, Honor Hashem. Please, God, Zechonot Hashem Talachti Zechonecho, remember that I have gone before you, Be'emet Ubelevav Shalom, in truth and with a complete heart. Batov Be'inecha Asiti. And I did that which was good in your eyes. And Chizkiyahu cried a great crying. You should have asked, why isn't he referred to as the king? Not at this time. Ein shilton beyond Hamavad. As we had said by David, by Yikrivu Yibay David Labut. The days of David to die had drawn close. He's not called Hamelech David because when one hangs in the balance between life and death, that's when the power to rule and the pomp and the circumstances is all gone. The great equalizer, you understand. Everybody is everybody's the same. Vayehi Yeshayahu. And it came to pass, Yeshayahu lo yatsa, her ear. Her chotzer hatichona. He had hardly moved out of the palace of the king. Udvar Hashem hayai lovely more. The word of God came to him. By the way, there's something else you should have asked. I don't know why you let me get away with it. No. In the first pasuk, Yeshayahu had told him, "Tzad lebeitecha ki meit ata," because you're going to die below techiyah, and you will not live. I mean, what is the meit ata below techiyah? So Rashi says, "You're all right. Olam meit ata olam hazeh below techiyah, you will not live la olam haba." Why? And this Rashi also takes from the Gemara in the Sefer Brachos. Because Chizkiyahu didn't marry. And therefore he had not fulfilled the mitzvah of having children. He didn't have children. He wasn't married. Why didn't he want to marry? So there also the Gemara tells us the entire conversation that took place at that Bikur Cholim. because he had seen the Ruach HaKodesh that he was going to have a son that was going to be a terrible Rasha. First of all, I used the word Ruach HaKodesh. How do you like that? Well, I anticipated your question. There's a difference between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. Nevuah really is that which is told to somebody to tell others. That's what makes one a Navi. The word Navi comes from the word Niv. Niv Svatayim means that which one says with one's mouth. The only time somebody is referred to as a Navi is when he's given a message that he gives over to others. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Borei Niv Svatayim, God is the one who creates the words of the lips. There are people who can receive all sorts of information with regard to themselves, but that doesn't make them a Navi. Because remember, in order to be a Navi, which means that I transmit information to others, I have to receive some kind of legitimacy. I have to prove myself as a Navi. Somebody who receives a message for himself needs to prove nothing. All that he needs is he knows that what has been communicated to him is the truth. Chizkiyahu is not listed amongst the Nevi'im. Menashe is going to be his son, and his son Menashe is going to be Chizkiyahu's. The worst. Wait a minute, that's not in the little story. So Yeshayahu tells him that you're going to die because you haven't married. So he says, I'm not getting married because I know that I'm going to have a son who's going to be a terrible Rasha. So then Yeshayahu tells him the famous statement, by God's secrets, Lamalach, what are you doing there? Mad Mithkida, what you're commanded to do, do. Now, you cannot use your Ruach HaKodesh to free you from a specific mitzvah in Torah. There's a mitzvah in Torah Peruravu, there's a mitzvah to marry and have children. So you're going to outsmart. You're going to outsmart God. You're going to say, because and obviously Chizkiyahu means it that way. He's afraid of what he's afraid of what the results are going to be. Tells him, says Yeshayahu to him, you have a responsibility to fulfill your mitzvah. And b'hadikav shid rachmana, by God's secret, what are you doing there? So then Chizkiyahu turned to Yeshayahu and said, would you give me your daughter? So maybe zchuta didi uzchuta didach, your merit and my merit, we will be able to avoid this terrible disaster, which Yeshayahu did, and it still didn't help. So you're looking at me and you're expecting me to explain to you why. Huh? How did I know? Working on it. Okay. Anyway, Yeshayahu had not yet left the palace. Udvar Hashem haya yilav leimor, the word of God came to him so saying, Shuv, Pasuk Hey, Shuv amartel Chizkiyahu nikid ami, go back and tell Chizkiyahu, the prince of my people, Tomar Hashem lekei David avicha, so says God, the God of your father David, Shamati et filatecha, I heard your prayer, ve'iti et dimatecha, I saw your tears, I will heal you. In the third day, from now you will be able to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. I'm going to add to your life 15 years. I'm going to save you from the hands of the king of Ashur. And I'm going to save this city. And I will protect this city Lemani for my sake, Ulaman David Avdi, and for the sake of my servant David. The Gemara and the Mepharshim say that this took place before the fall of Sancheret. It was 3 days before the fall of Sancheret. Ayami Yeshayahu, and everybody, you can ask me great questions over here. Ayami Yeshayahu said, Kichu develet teinin, develet in a pressed figs. Vayikhu, They took it, they placed it on, there was a boil, an infected boil that he had, and it came to life. The boil that was bringing death was healed, Rashi, like Dankus. Except over here, Rashi brings the Gemara that says that it was Nes v'toch Nes, a miracle within a miracle. And Rashi says, Shalei av bosa chai, sheshat tonosen olah tebel on nisrach. V'hakadosh baruch hu noten tavar v'chabel l'tov l'tov, shenit chabel u'mitrapei. In other words, it seems that figs are bad for good skin. Don't ask me why. I don't know. How we have for skin that is already diseased, it seems it's even worse. And here, you know, this all falls into the category of when the waters of morah, the waters that are bitter. Moshe puts in, God tells him to put in something that is bitter and the waters become sweet. Elisha is in Yericho and the people of Yericho tell him that the waters bring death. So he says, give me salt. And he took salt and he put it into the sources of the waters of Yericho and the waters became healthy again. In other words, there's always the nes betochnes, the miracle. In other words, the absolute contradiction. That which should in fact cause harm is that in and of itself which brings healing. In a sense, it was also something that the Rebbeisha always showed with the mateh. Why, when they first needed water, so God told Moshe, take the staff and hit the rock, because Jews had thought that the staff can only bring suffering and punishment because the 10 plagues were brought through it. So that which has the power of causing suffering is that in and of itself which can create healing. The principle of immunization. Yeah, I like the comparison, except that I certainly hope that immunization is not nes betoch nes. In other words, immunization is to build up the antibodies. I mean, there's a similarity, except that God does it miraculously.
You don't know the reason.
You don't know. If Rashi, Gemara says nes betoch nes. Vayomer Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu Pasuk 9, Vayomer Yeshayahu Tzelecha Ha'od, Yeshayahu said, this is the sign. Ve'et Hashem, ki yaseh Hashem et ha'davar asher diber. Here is the sign that God is going to do that which he has spoken. Halei Chatzel Eser Ma'alot, im Yashuv Eser Ma'alot. They had a sundial. Fact is, the Gemara says that the day on which Chizkiyahu's father Ahaz died, the day lost 10 hours. The day was a very short day. The sun set very early. Why? Because Ahaz was a Rasha. And the Rebbeinu didn't want that there should be time during the day for eulogies and a levaya and all of the rest. So he wanted Ahaz die, get him buried, tragic. So the day lost 10 hours. The day is now going to become longer by 10 hours. The 10 hours that were lost, that disappeared on the day that Ahaz died, are now going to be returned. So the tzeil, the shade, the shadow that is left by the sundial is going to move back 10 degrees, counting for 10 hours. Alech, alach tzeil eser malot, that shadow that had gone back 10 malot, take a look in Yashuv eser malot, if those 10 degrees are going to be returned. Ayamayi Chizkiyo said, she's going to do it. I know she's going to do it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the few psukim. What am I going to say?
No
In this pasuk, he's called Yechizkiyahu. In Malachim, he's always called Chizkiyahu. In Divrei Hayamim, he's Yechizkiyahu. I could have let it go and just not have made mention of it at all, and I would have gotten away with it. Maybe. Vayome Yechizkiyahu. Yechizkiyahu said, Nokel Hatzel Lintot Esem Alot. Lo, Ki Yoshuv Hatzel Achoranit Esem Alot. What he's saying, what Yishayahu was telling him was, at first, he's telling him that it's going to move ahead. That's what, in other words, I was telling you what the end of the story is going to be. That it will move ahead. Says Chizkiyahu that it should move quickly ahead is easier than moving it back. I want it moved all the way back. Nakel, Latzel, what's easier about one than the other? It's not a matter of easy or not. It's a matter of what is going to be more striking to human beings. If it's the late afternoon and we see the sun beginning to set on, we look out across to the west and we see the sun going down. It's more shaking or dramatic all of a sudden that the when it's night, it becomes day. In a sense, it's also because it's moving in the opposite direction. In other words, you expect it to get darker and darker and darker, but you don't expect it to get from darker to become light. So, Chizkiyahu says, Nakel, it's easier, Latzel, in Tot Esem Ma'alot, to go down 10 degrees. Lo, that's not what I want. Ki Yoshuv Atzel, Achonanet Esem Ma'alot. I want the tzel, the shade, to go back up. Vayikru Yishayahu Anovi El Hashem. Yishayahu Anovi called out to God. Here he's called a Navi. Because he has to use his powers now as a Navi and ask of Beni Shalom, I want you to do this. V'chizkiyahu. V'yoshev et hatzel b'ma'alot asher yada b'ma'alot achaz acharanit etzem alot. Here the pasuk sums it up for you. That it went back up the 10 degrees that it had gone down because of Achaz, who was the father of Chizkiyahu. It now went back. Why is it needed? I'll tell you, according to the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't specifically ask this question, but the Gemara says that Malchei Mizrach Umarav was shaken by this all. In the whole world, they started asking what's happening, and their astrologers told them that there's a great man in Yerushalayim, King Chizkiyahu, and it's because of him that it happened. In other words, this message was sent by God to a whole world. It shook them up, and there was a fear of Klal Yisrael. In other words, coinciding with the fall of Sancherev comes a strengthening of the Jewish people. In other words, doesn't it fit in with the idea that Chizkiyahu could have been Hoshiach? The idea that Chizkiyahu is recognized worldwide as somebody for whom God will simply change the very course of nature. So he wanted, as he had said earlier, lo lemani, not for my sake, but leman David Avdi, for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Let them see what has happened. Ba'et, let's go further. Ba'et ahi, shalav berod al baladam ben baladam nel abob al sfori b'minchel chizkiyahu, ki shama ki chola chizkiyahu. At that time, and you see already, how did they know that Chizkiyahu was ill? You know how they knew that Chizkiyahu was ill? They knew Chizkiyahu was ill because of what happened when Chizkiyahu was when he became when he was healed. And Rashi brings it all from the Gemara that the king of Babel, the king of Babel's whole day got all messed up. He didn't know when breakfast time, he didn't know when lunch was. His whole schedule went wrong because the day had more hours than he knew what to do with. So he sent Svarim, and what does... let me read the Rashi. Rashi says, Kishama, Pasuk in Bet, Kishama, he heard that Chizkiyahu becomes sick, Ba'ad Otu Ayom, Lo Hoya Odam Chola V'Choya. It seems that up until that time there was never somebody who was deathly ill that was brought back from death. Ba'ich Shama, Rashi says, how did he hear? Lomud Hoya Lechol V'Shalo shows me, he used to eat the third hour of the day. V'Yashayin Atesha, then he got to sleep, and he'd sleep until 9 hours of the day. Because of Chizkiyahu, the sun moved back. Ne'or b'teisha shows, so he gets up after his afternoon nap, and he expects now that it's going to be another late afternoon. He gets up from his afternoon nap, and it's the morning. So you want to know what happened? So it says, Bikish Maragas HaFodav, he wanted to kill his servants. Because he thought that they didn't wake him up when he was supposed to wake up. Woken up. Everything became confused. Omar, he said, Atim hamachtem otim lishon yom v'layla. He didn't know that it was the same day. He goes to sleep for his afternoon siesta. And he gets up, and it's morning. So he thought that he slept through the whole day, the night, and now it's the next day. She said, will you let me sleep a day, a night, until the morning? So he said, no. It's the same day. Gal gal chama chaza. The sun has returned back. Amalahem. So he said, who brought me? Who brought it back? And the kosh of Chizkiyahu, the God of Chizkiyahu. So says the Psikta. Psikta is one of the Tanaitic compilations on Torah. Pasuk Yud Gimel by Yishma Aleim Chizkiyahu by Yareim et Kol Beit Nechoto here. Another thing difficult to understand how a man, this is one of the mistakes that Chizkiyahu made. King of Babel has sent all, by the way, I don't think we've heard of the king of Babel. We haven't heard of Babel. I think that this is the first time that Babel appears in Tanakh. It means that with the fall of Sanherev at the gates of Yerushalayim, what really happened was the sun set on the Assyrian Empire. And there is a new power that's beginning to rise in the Near East, and that new power is Babel. So he sent letters, and he sent a gift to Chizkiyahu because he had heard that Chizkiyahu was ill and had been healed. Ayishma aleihem Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu heard, listened to them. The listening to them over here is, you'll see in a moment what it means. Vayavim et kol beit nechoto, he showed them his whole Beit Nechot, that means his treasure. Beit Nechot is is a museum called the Beit Nechot, or his treasure house. But that's with a Samach. This is with a Tav. A Beit Nechot is one, in old Hebrew, that was a museum or a treasury, a place where you keep great wealth. He showed them the silver, the gold, perfumes that Shema had told, the good oils that Beit Kelav, where he had all of his, his beautiful silver, that Kalash and Insa, boats, hotels, everything that was in his treasury. There was nothing that Chizkiyahu didn't show them in his house and in all of his kingdom. He sent him a letter, and he sent his messengers with the letter.
Right, so he showed him everything.
Well, I don't think he showed him his F-21s or his Merkava.
Don't be so sure. Right.
But it means, I mean, this is one of the mistakes that was made, but Chizkiyahu will see it right away. Yeah. So you're going to ask me... What did you say?
It's a kind of
gaiva. A kind of gaiva, yes.
I think maybe he realized that Bono was the right of God.
He wants to.
He depended on making a deal with the enemy.
It seems he should. The Psikta de Breite even says on the last when it says in the pasuk Lo Hayah Davar, there was nothing that he didn't show them. He showed them the Aron, the Luchos, and the Sefer Torah. Showed them everything. What was it that motivated him to do this? Yeah, all right. I mean, so I would imagine that what it was a sense of seems Jewish pride, power. He wants to impress him. Yes, I'm ready.
He wants to show the weapon. Came up, so he wants to show the weapon.
All right, okay, fine. Let's say he showed the weapons. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. The question is, why does he show him anything? And certainly the question is, why does he show him everything? He wants to, maybe he wants to impress them with his wealth and with his power. They're coming to honor God, and he seems to be interpreting this as they're coming for him.
Right? A deterrent.
That's what we're saying. That he wants them to know the extent to which he's powerful. By the way, this also relates to the Gemara that I once learned with you. It must have been 2-3 months ago. The story of the great wealth of Mitzrayim, the great wealth of Yosef, that has been changing hands for 400 years, 500 years, and the great power of the day is the one who owns that wealth. Sheshak, king of Cush, comes up and he's the one who takes it from Rehavam. Later on, Asa, king of Yehuda, conquers it all back. Yehoshaphat eventually has it. Now Chizkiyahu has that great wealth. That great wealth is, according to the Gemara, is understood in the world as a symbol of power. And the one who has it is the one who is the power at that time. He shows this to them in order that they should know that Klal Yisrael is the superpower of the day. But listen, Pasuk Yudalad. Yavo Yishayo Anovi Hamelech Chizkiyo. Yishayo Anovi came to Hamelech Chizkiyo. I think this is the first pasuk we've had them both. Yishayahu with his title, Chizkiyo with his title. By Yomer Elav, and he said to him, Ma Amru HaAnoshim Ha'Ela. What did these people say? Umeyayin Yavo Elecha. And from where did they come to you? By Yomer Chizkiyo Me'eretz Rechok Abo. They've come from a distant land. Mibavel, from Bavel. You see, even the way he talks about Bavel is an indication that Bavel is not yet a name that is known in the world. It hasn't yet made it. It's only in its infancy. The Gemara over here says, I'll read the Rashi. Rashi brings the Gemara. Ze echad mishlosha, Chizkiyo is one of the three, Shebotkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God tested them. Umatzaon avid shelmayim achurim, and he found them to be a avid is. I think really an avid is something like a spittoon of murky waters. The term means the following: that somebody is tested and doesn't pass the test. And Rashi brings Kayin, Yechizkiyahu, and Bilam. God asks Cain, where is your brother? So he says, Lo yadati, I don't know. Hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's keeper? He was being tested. Will he be honest? Will he be forthright? Will he say, yes, chotasi, I sinned. I killed my brother. No. Hoyalo loma. What should Cain have said before God? He should have told him, Ribbeinu shel olam. Hello, Kohan is Storos Gluyos Vacha. Everything that is concealed is revealed to you. You know everything. You're asking me where Kayan, where Hevel is? He had to be honest, he had to be straight. He thinks that he's fooling God. Me? Search me. I don't know where my brother is. Bilam? Shamalam Makam, God said to Bilam, Miha Noshim Ha'ela Imcha. Who are these people that have come? To visit you. He should have said to Hashem, it came after your dad. He should have done the way. He said, come on. What are you playing games with me? You're asking me who these people are. You know everything. You know who these people are. Moshe, Nehemiah ben Yecheskel, for who heshiv begaivel? What was his answer? Bilam's answer was one of pride. Balak ben Zippor, Melech Moab, Shalach Alai. Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, sent to me. Har ben Nebakshin, Yeshli. There are a lot of people that seek me out. He wants to impress the Rebbeinu, you understand. A lot of people who come, hold on, Rebbeinu, just hold on. I have a long distance call right now. Just wait a minute. You put the Rebbeinu on hold. Call waiting. Can't do that. And then over here also, Chizkiyo should have answered to Yeshayahu when Yeshayahu asks him, who are these people and where have they come? He should have told him, Aton Evio Shalakam, you are the, you're God's prophet. Vatosh Shoyle, right? You're asking me? You should know. Hitchil Chizkiyahu mitgoev v'amach Chizkiyahu acted with pride and he said, Me'eretz v'chok avo elai, they've come from a distant land. L'kach nenash, that's why he was punished. Al shesomach aleim v'he'echilam al shilchano. Because he was happy with the visit and the fact that he invited them in as welcome guests. He invited them in as welcome guests. It was just been too far that Chizkiyahu went. Yes? He said. Yeah. But he said the truth. She gave me to eat. In other words, he said that he admitted that he ate from the Eitz Hadaat.
Yeah, but he didn't admit that he knew what he was eating.
No. He didn't say that I didn't do anything wrong. I know I did something wrong, but I have an excuse.
Of course.
That's her fault.
What are the sounds that I hear?
You're right, he was punished, but she's asking, why isn't he
included
in those who were tested and...
Here they're talking about
their
being haughty.
That's right.
And Chizkiyahu, there's haughtiness. But it's not so by Cain. Lo yadati, I don't know. Hashem erochi amonochi, am I my brother's keeper? And you're asking when Shmuel turns to Shaul and says, Meh kol hatzon, what is the sound of the sheep that I hear? So there he really answers like Odom did. The people brought back.
Very good. All right, so I don't know, but we're going to keep going. Vayomer,
Morrow Beitachel, he said, what did they see in your house? Pasuk 15, Vayomer Chizkiyahu, with Kol Hashem Beitiro, everything that is in my house they saw. Lo hayot davar ashelo bid itin ba'otzerotai. There is nothing in my treasury that I did not show them. Vayomer Yeshayahu al Chizkiyahu, Shema davar Hashem, Yeshayahu said to Chizkiyahu, listen to the word of God, Hinei yomim ba'im. Behold, days are coming when you saw Kol Hashem Beitiro, everything that is in your house is not being carried away. Here it is, it's the great wealth that is going to be moving now elsewhere. The Nisa Kol Asher Evitecha, everything that is in your house is going to be carried away. And everything that your fathers treasured and put away until today is going to be taken to Bavel. Lo yivater davar amar Hashem. Nothing will remain. Nothing will remain, says God. And here Rashi, of course, points out just as Chizkiyahu had said, Lo hayot davar, there was nothing that I didn't show them. Lo yivater davar, nothing will remain. Umibanecha, asher yetzu mincha, asher tolid, yikachu, vahayusarisim v'hecha melababel. And from the children are going to come from you, whom you're going to give birth, will be taken, and they are going to be servants, in a sense, in the palace of the king of Babel. That's going to be Hananiah, Mishalva, Kanani Mishalva Zarn. Vayom Chizkiyo, and Yishayah Chizkiyo said to Yishayah, Tov Tor Hashem Hashem Dibarto, good is the word of God that you have spoken. Vayom, and he said, Hello and Shalom to Ebet Yebi Yomai. As long as there will be peace and truth in my days. In other words, he recognizes on the one hand that he had made a mistake, but at least the punishment will not come in his time.
That's what
who said?
In the friend said, after me,
comes the flood.
Comes the flood.
Which king of France said that?
It's the idea that as long as it's peaceful and truthful in my day, I don't care what happens.
And I think what I'm going to have to do in order to balance things out over here is I'm going to have to learn a chapter in Divrei Hayom with you because I have to balance out the Chizkiyo. On the one hand, he makes mistakes, and on the other hand, he's one of the great kings of Yehuda. The Yetet Divrei Chizkiyo and the rest of the things of Chizkiyo, the Chol Torah, all of the strength, Asher Osa, Et HaBrecha Ve'et HaTa'ola, Vayoveet HaMayim Ha'ira, he made a pool and a canal, and he brought water into the city. Halohim Tuvim HaSefer Divrei Yom HaMach Yehuda, this is written in Divrei Hayamim for the kings of Yehuda. Vayishtav Chizkiyo Ma'otav, Vayimloch Menashe Ve'ot Tachtov. Chizkiyo dies, and his son Menashe becomes king in his place. We have to balance. It's simple, of course, to say that. Listen, say he made a mistake. Do you have Divrei Hayamims with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You have another one. Bela, can you give this to the men in the back? Oh, you have. Oh, you have one. Okay. Chapter Divrei Hayom in Bet. I would say chapter 30. Chapter 30 is a famous chapter. I don't know why I say these things. But let's say what I mean is it should be a famous chapter. Vayishlach Chizkiyahu. Here is a whole chapter that tells us something that was done by Chizkiyo in his days. Divrei Hayom in Bet, chapter 30. Is it torn out or do you have it? You have it? Which is it? Do you have it? Or is it torn out? You have it? Oh, I have another one. Yishlach Chizkiyo, I'll call Yisrael Yehuda. Chizkiyo sent to all of Yisrael and Yehuda began Idrot Katav al Ephraim and Menashe, and letters he wrote to Ephraim and Menashe. Now, when he says that he sent letters to Ephraim and Menashe, that means that in the land that had formerly been Yisrael, where the 10 tribes had been and were exiled, there were still some Jews who remained. The exile wasn't a complete exile. There were still Jews from Ephraim and Menashe who remained. And there is going to come the point at which they too are going to be exiled. But at this point, the exile of the 10 tribes is not complete. So Chizkiyo sent to all of Israel and Yehuda, and he also sent letters to Ephraim and Menashe, Lovo, Lebeit Hashem, Yerushalayim, they should come to the house of God in Yerushalayim, Lazot, Pesach, Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, to make a carbon Pesach to God, the God of Israel. What's fascinating about this perek is, there are 900 years that Jews have been making carbon Pesach, and Jews have been making sukkahs, and they've been making shavuos, there's no description of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, nothing. There are two major descriptions in Tanakh. I should make it three. There are three major descriptions in Tanakh of one mitzvah, Karban Pesach. when Jews crossed the Jordan with Yahushua, it says that they came to Gilgal. In Gilgal, Yahushua made sure that everybody circumcised themselves. They had crossed the Jordan into Eretz Israel on the 10th day, on the 10th day of Nisan. Shabbos HaGadol was the 10th day of Nisan. They come to Gilgal. They undergo Brit Milah because you can't bring a Korban Pesach if you are not circumcised. And then comes the 14th of Nisan. 4 days after they come to Eretz Yisrael, they bring the Korban Pesach, and it says, they describe the Korban Pesach that was brought by Jews 4 days after they came to Eretz Yisrael. The second great description of Korban Pesach is here, this chapter of Chizkiyahu. After Chizkiyahu, there's going to be Menashe, and then we're going to come to one more great tzaddik, Yoshiyahu. And by Yoshiyahu, there's also going to be a major description of all things Korban Pesach. And we'll get back to it in a moment. We'll get back to the significance of it. I mean, that's really the point I want to make. What's so special about the Korban Pesach? There is something very special about the Korban Pesach. The first time is Yahushua. At the very beginning of Yahushua. Chapter 3, chapter 4 of Yahushua. The next is here by Chizkiyahu, and the third is going to be with Yahushua. And the Gemara refers to it as Pesach Chizkiyahu. Like there wasn't Korban Pesach all of the other years. By Yifat, HaMelech V'Sara L'chol HaKol B'Yerushalayim, there was a consultation between the king and his officers and the entire community in Yerushalayim. La'asot HaPesach B'Chodesh HaSheni, to make the Korban Pesach in the second month. Ki lo yaku la'asoto b'en tahui, because they couldn't make it at that time in the first month. Korban Pesach is the only mitzvah that you have a second chance. If there was legitimate reason that you didn't bring a Korban Pesach in the month of Nisan, you have Yud Dalid Iyar Pesach Shein. Ki lo yaku la'asoto b'en tahui, because they couldn't make it at that time. Ki ha'kohanim lo hitkatshu l'matai, because the kohanim had not become sufficiently sanctified, the Ha'on Long Ne'es, fully Yerushalayim, and the people had not gathered in Yerushalayim. And it was good in the eyes of the king, and in the eyes of the entire congregation. They established the fact. In other words, they decided, La'avir kol b'chol Yisrael, to let it be known in all of Israel from Beersheba to Dan. It's been a long while since Eretz Yisrael was described as being from Be'er Sheva until Dan. There was a time at which it was Dan until Be'er Sheva. Where is it first described as from Dan until Be'er Sheva? By Shmuel. Shmuel became accepted as a prophet by all of Israel from Dan until Be'er Sheva. But during all of the years that the kingdom was split, there was no direct route from Dan to Be'er Sheva. Dan was in the north. Be'er Sheva was in the south. There was the border between Yehuda and Yisrael that separated them. But those barriers are down now. From Be'er Sheva to Dan. Not from Dan until Be'er Sheva. Because remember, from where is the holiness emanating? Not from Dan. During all of the years of the 10 tribes, Dan was the place where they had one of the calves that was Pesach Micha and the Argolim of Yerovam ben Nevat, an Egel in Dan, and an Egel in Bethel. But Be'er Sheva was part of Yehuda, so from Be'er Sheva there was an emanation of sanctity that now made its way all the way up to Dan. So and remember, the pasuk is talking about the call. So where is the call going out from? The call is going out from Yehuda to all of the rest. So the voice goes from Be'er Sheva until Dan. Lavo la'asot Pesach la'Hashem l'kei Yisrael Yerushalayim, to come and make a Korban Pesach to God, the God of Israel in Yerushalayim. Ki lo larov asu karka tov. Because lo larov, for many years they had not made it karka tov, as it says the Torah should be done. Of course, those who lived in Yisrael could not have made it all those years because they couldn't come to Yerushalayim. Korban Pesach, you can only sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash, and it has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. You can't eat Korban Pesach in Be'er Sheva or Dan. Everybody has to come to Yerushalayim. And that had not been done for many, many years. Vayelchu HaRatzim, the runners went, by Igrot, Yad HaMelech, the Sarev, with letters from the hands of the king and his officers, B'chol Yisrael, Yudah, through all of Yisrael and Yudah, Uke Mitzvat HaMelech Leimar. And it was the command of the king saying, B'nai Yisrael, sons of Israel, Shuvu al Hashem, return to God, Elekeach, Mam Yitzum Yisrael, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak and Yisrael, V'yashov El HaPleita, HaNisheret Lachem, Mikaf Melech Ashur, so that God should return the refugees who are in the hands of the king of Ashur. What they were hoping was that Jews who had already been taken into exile would be able to return. Don't be like your fathers and your brothers, who had sinned against God, the God of their fathers. By his nameless shaman, he made them desolation, kasher atem roin, as you see. This is a major call for tshuva. This is what Chizkiyahu is doing. We have to take a look at the other side of Chizkiyahu. A major call for tshuva. Kiruv rechokim, literally, he wants to bring those who are distant spiritually and geographically to come to Yerushalayim. Ata ata now al takshu arpachem kavotechem. Don't stiffen your necks as your fathers. Tnu yad la Hashem. Give your hand to God. The Tzuda says, Tnu yad like... All right, it means cooperate, but so I don't know. I have the Mitzvah says that it's like, you know, a handshake on something. When you decide to enter into an agreement with somebody, you know, Mazel Brucha, you shake hands at the kiosk, give your hand to God. This is how the Mitzvah explains it. Give your hand to God. I have a feeling it also means something else. In other words, you need somebody who's going to pick you up. You can't do it alone. What you're going to need in this process of return, you're going to need the aid and the assistance of the Rebbe. But you have to do something. At least give it, extend a hand, and then the Rebbe is going to take that hand in his and pick you up and lift you up. Tnu Yad Vashem, Ubo L'Mikdasho, and come to his holy place, Asher Hikdish L'Olam, that he has made sanctified forever. V'ivdu et Hashem L'Kechem, and serve God with God, V'yoshom Mikem Karon Afo, and his anger will turn back from you. Keep Yishuvchem al Hashem, because by your return to God, Achechem U'Bneichem, L'Rachamim L'Fnei Shoveihem, then your brothers and your children will be treated mercifully before their captors. So they should be able to return to this land. Because God is merciful and compassionate. He will not turn his face away from you if you will return to him. That Meir Simcha HaKohen Mitvinsk, in one of his great and powerful essays, wants to explain a number of things. First of all, the unusual halacha that Karban Pesach, you get a second opportunity. There are not many things in life you get a second opportunity. You blow it once, it's over. And here the Rebbe comes ahead and he gives Jews the opportunity that you should bring a Karban Pesach. You didn't bring it in the first Nissan, and you have legitimate reason, you bring it in the second month. He also wants to explain the idea of why is it so that yes, Yehoshua, Chizkiyahu, and Yoshiyahu, the Navi describes in great detail the special celebration of the Karban Pesach. There were other celebrations, there were other mitzvahs. It's only later, and maybe we'll talk about that next year, Mirat Hashem, next school year, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they come back to Yerushalayim, there's going to be a celebration of Sukkot unparalleled in history. Ezra is going to tell Jews, go up into the mountains, bring Skach, we're going to make Sukkot.
Sukkot, in a sense, is going to be representative of Shivas Tzion returning tachat kanfei hashchina, beneath the covering of God. Pesach is, it may also be that according to what the Rav Meir Simcha is going to say, the great celebration of Korban Pesach may be not as necessary then as it is now, and you'll see in a moment. There is also another puzzling halacha, puzzling Gemara. The Gemara says, on the pasuk that says that the stranger in your midst, the convert, also brings Korban Pesach. Why shouldn't the convert bring a Korban Pesach? The convert is a Jew too, who is obligated in all mitzvahs. We're talking about real converts, you know. Says the Gemara, because Yachal, I would think that Ger Shenid Gayer, I would think that a non-Jew, when he converts, whenever he converts, should bring the Korban Pesach. Is it a strange Gemara? The Gemara says it. I don't know. If a convert is going to finally go complete the process, I don't know, in January, I don't know, let's do Shvat or Adar or any other month of the year, bring Korban Pesach. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a person is converting in the month of Shvat? You have to bring a Korban Pesach. That's what the Gemara thought. Except that the pasuk says, the ger brings Korban Pesach just like everybody else, so he brings it on Pesach. But I would have thought that he should bring it at any time. When you convert, to bring a Korban Pesach. I don't know, maybe the Gemara doesn't occur to the Gemara to say that, you know, when a ger converts, so on the day that he converts, he should bring a Korban Pesach, should eat matzah, he should fast the Yom Kippur, light Hanukkah candles, and read the Megillah. I do it all. Of all the 613 mitzvahs, there's only one mitzvah that the Gemara seems at one moment to have thought that a person who converts should bring a fulfilled mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And we need a pasuk in Torah to tell us, no. You converted, you can wait until Pesach to bring the Korban Pesach. So the Meshech Chachma develops the following idea. The basic thrust of the idea is the following. That the Pesach is in the spring. What spring represents is after a winter in which, in a sense, nature is at rest, there comes that great burst of color and life and sun. Spring is the time when nature exerts its most powerful impact on man. There's something. I remember in West Hempstead, in the Alter Heim, in the Gulas, there were times when in April, the Pesach time, after Pesach, April, gosh, I walked to Shul Shabbos in the morning and you'd see a burst of color. It was, I just come intoxicated with the sight and the smell of nature full of life. Says Rav Meir Simcha, nature in spring presents man with one of the dangerous phenomena of life. Because one can be left with the impression that there's a power and a strength that is called nature, even to the point where it is separate and distinct from God. There's something about nature that is so intoxicating in the spring that man can begin to see nature as a power in and of itself. And it's precisely at that moment that Torah says that you're supposed to bring the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach represents shattering and destroying the idols of man. The idea that there is no such power as nature all of its own. Nature is God. God is the architect of nature. He makes it. We've mentioned what the Balei Kabbalah say. Hateva equals Elohim. Both equal 86. Hateva, nature, equals Elohim, God.
Elokim, of course, always represents the God who is in concealment. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is the proper name or the first name of God, is the one that we know him as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but the world knows him as Elokim. They see him in the guise of nature. And when nature is at its most powerful, it's at that moment we have to make it clear to ourselves and to all others that there is a God of nature. Nature is not a force of its own. That's when we go out and we make a bracha on the fruit trees. You're very good, you're very right. A roa, a person who sees in the days of Nisan. So you go out and you bless God. What you're saying is, this nature is not a force in and of itself, but this nature is God. Maybe that what? Well, there's no question. Bikurim also, first fruits. Absolutely. The idea of Hakara Satov, one of the idea of Hakara, that this is God. This is Meireshis Prima Adama Hashem Atali that you gave me. God, that you gave me. The Meshach Chachma takes it a step further and he says, therefore, that Korban Pesach is the antidote to idolatry. Korban Pesach represents the idea of shattering the idols that men worship. And therefore, very beautifully, he says, you will see that wherever there came a moment in history at which Jews had fallen into idolatry, when they emerge and they rise, there is a special celebration of Korban Pesach. One, the Korban Pesach of Mitzrayim. What did the angel say? Halalu avdei avodah zarah v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. God, what's the difference between the Egyptians and the Jews? They are both idolaters. Comes the Korban Pesach, and Korban Pesach represents shattering the idols, removing idolatry. In the 40 years that Jews were in the desert, they brought only one Korban Pesach. And that Korban Pesach is a problematic one. In the second year in the desert, they bring a Korban Pesach. For the next 39 years, there is not going to be a Korban Pesach. And there's a great deal of discussion. Why don't they bring a Korban Pesach for the rest of the 39 years? Meshach Chacham has his own brilliant way of looking at it. First of all, it says that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach applies kiyuviyacha when God is going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. There was no obligation to bring a Korban Pesach in the desert. So then, you know what problem? What problem do we have? So why did they bring one in the second year in the desert? It's in the second year in Parshat Palotcha that God tells them to bring the Korban Pesach. And there we have the parsha that are people who come and say that, listen, we are impure, unclean, we cannot bring the Korban Pesach. Why should we be denied the possibility of doing it? And that's when Moshe tells them there's a halacha of Pesach Sheni. So why, if there is no obligation to make a Korban Pesach during the, while they're in Chutzlaretz, so why did they bring a Korban Pesach in the second year in the desert? You know why they brought a Korban Pesach in the second year in the desert? Because it was after the sin of the Egel, the antidote to idolatry is Korban Pesach. What did we read at the end of Parashat Balak, at the beginning of Parashat Pinchas? Only a few months before they go into Eretz Yisrael, Jews are worshipping Baal Peor, the king, the idolatry of Moab. So when Yahushua brings them into Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be the next Pesach. The Pesach immediately following. Only a few months earlier, there's Cosby and Zimri, and Jews are worshipping Baal Peor. They cross into Eretz Yisrael. And the fact is, even that first Korban Pesach by Yahushua is an unusual one, because the chiv of mitzvahs, the obligation to perform mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, was only after 7 years of conquest and 7 years of dividing the land, when you finally settled down. Why is there a special celebration of Korban Pesach in the days of Yahushua? Because Korban Pesach is the antidote to the idolatry of Baal Peor and Moab. Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu, what's described in the chapter before, And what will be described by Yoshio is a cleansing of Eretz Yisrael of idolatry. Do you know what comes after a cleansing of Eretz Yisrael of idolatry? Korban Pesach. That's why the Korban, because Jews were bringing Korban Pesach all the time. But there was a special celebration made when that celebration followed the cleansing and purification of Eretz Yisrael from idolatry. The Korban Pesach is the idea of shattering, destroying the idols of mankind. Says the Meshech Chachma, therefore we can understand why it occurred to the Gemara that a convert should have to bring the Korban Pesach immediately upon conversion. Because what does conversion represent? Shattering the idols of the past. What should be the antidote that now comes for the man's life up until that point? The antidote to idolatry, again, is Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach represents nature in all of its brilliance and its beauty and its power. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the Ben Shalem. Brilliant piece of the Meshech Chachma. In peace. And I haven't even given you the whole thing, I've just given you the basic outline of the ideas. But he explains each one of the unusual Korbanot Pesach. The fact is, the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim is unusual as well. And it's referred to forever. In Halacha, it's referred to as Pesach Mitzrayim. There were halachot there that never were to be repeated again. And there was the special halacha of putting blood on the doorposts not to go out of your house. The whole Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, bringing a korban in the midst of Mitzrayim. Where did Jews ever bring sacrifices in Chutzlars yet in a Mitzrayim? Because every time that Korban Pesach emerges, it emerges as the response to what had preceded. It represents a return to roots and to sources. It represents also the idea that there is no power in the world aside from God Himself. Therefore, the unusual Pesach Mitzrayim, the unusual Pesach in the second year in the desert, the unusual Korban Pesach as soon as they cross the Jordan, and the very exceptional Korbanot Pesach in the days of Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu. That's what's being described over here. So at least what I want you to know is that Chizkiyahu, though he makes mistakes, makes a mistake toward the end of his reign, and it may very well have been a mistake where his intention was to frighten Bavel, or to send a message to Bavel that, listen, we're not a banana republic, we are a power and a might in the world. I don't know, you know, a Yiddish mama would never have permitted something of the sort. You don't show off everything. Did your mother ever tell you about Vazen Afag? No, Vazen Afag is God. I was brought up on that. Shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. No Ayin Hara. Yeah, you know, the sense of a sense of modesty. And you know, not everybody or Mishtech Nisht Oilst Eugen, huh? No. I hold about these things. Al titosh Torah simecha. Don't reject the Torah of the mamas. There are certain things that the mamas had that were not stans. They weren't just superstitions or fear of Gaim. There's a certain sense of modesty at tzniut. You don't have to go and show off your wealth or in here. Call it ayin hara the way. But I think that it was really motivated by the idea of kol kavuda bas melech penima. And by the way, kol kavuda bas melech penima, of course, is used in a certain way today, but that's not the meaning of the pasuk. Kol kavuda bas melech penima is sort of, you know, that a good girl's place is in the home. That's not what it means. What it really means is that kavod in general, real honor and dignity, is in concealment. You don't let it all hang out. You don't have to show off everything. There's a certain powerful, powerful, silent dignity of the mystery. It's in a sense, some while ago we discussed it in another context, being one of the most important mitzvahs in Torah is v'alachta b'drachov. You should go the ways of God. You should follow in His footsteps. just as he is merciful, you be merciful, just as he is compassionate, you be compassionate. The same thing is true, just as God is in concealment, so too man is supposed to be in concealment. It represents the idea of tzniut in speech, tzniut in dress, tzniut in not showing off everything that one has. The mention doesn't show everything off either. There has to be a certain reticence. What it is that got into Chizkiyahu. Yeah, he may have had this, he may have wanted to do it, L'tovas Klal Yisrael, but it was still a mistake. Everything he shows them. Everything he shows them. I mean, I let's say the following, just as I most probably can take a half an hour telling, justifying everything that Chizkiyahu did. I could take another half an hour finding fault with what Chizkiyahu did. I could write an editorial. It was necessary to show them our economic might, and the same Chizkiyahu showed them Sefer Torah and Luchos, and he wanted them to know that we are a very special and unique people, right? Spiritually, economically, and still, the Rebbe Shem has to send a message to Yeshayahu. No, can't show everything up. But on the other hand, we have over here the Chizkiyahu, who's going to bring the whole Klal Yisrael together in a celebration of Karban Pesach, unparalleled and unmatched during 950 years that Jews were in Eretz Yisrael until the destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash.